Hi, I'm Barry Moore.
Hi, I'm Jamie Norton.
And we are here today to interview our constituency MSP for Greenock and Inverclyde, Stuart McMillan.
We'll be discussing Brexit, Ferguson's Marine and even the Scottish National Team. Hello, Stuart McMillan. Thank you for joining us today, the MSP for Greenock and Inverclyde.
No problem. Thank you very much for asking me.
What do you do as an MSP that has an impact on the people of Inverclyde?
A number of things, but the most important one I would suggest is that when a constituent comes to my office or sends an email or basically contacts me in whichever way, shape or form, and we take up their case and try and get that issue resolved. And I think any politician that I've spoken to in the past, any time there's been a school group in Parliament or when there's been parliamentarians in schools, that question comes up in different formats, but the answer is always the same from every single politician. And it's about actually getting an outcome, a successful outcome for a constituent. And we're in there, we'll pass legislation, we'll do the committee work, we'll do inquiry work and a host of other things. But when you can actually get something finalised and fixed for a constituent, that's, for me, is probably the most rewarding aspect of the role of being an MSP.
You're the parliamentary piper. What are the highlights of doing that role?
There's a number of things. I really enjoy doing it. It's a nice add-on. It's not the be-all and end-all of what I do, but it's a nice add-on. For me, I look upon it as a way of actually helping promote part of Scotland's culture, part of Scotland's musical traditions, and a chance to play in the Parliament is really nice, and it's something that I always thoroughly enjoy. And like so, this year. I managed to play at Hampden for the Scotland Cyprus game, and also played at Murrayfield in the summer for the Scotland France game. And so the SRU, they've asked me to come back and play another game, so playing at the Scotland England match in February. So nice wee things like that.
Is there any other activities that you do outside your job?
Piping wise or other
hobbies?
I'm married with two kids, so my free time, my hobby time is extremely limited. So when I'm not in Edinburgh, when I'm not doing my MSP role, I try and spend as much time as I can with my family.
Good. There's been various causes of violence and death threats towards elected representatives. What should be done to reduce tension with politics?
That's a very good question. For me, I actually had this discussion with a number of people a few weeks ago. I'm on something called the Commonwealth Parliamentary Association. Every parliamentarian automatically becomes a member of that. I'm on our Scottish Parliament's branch executive, and I'm also on the international executive. And as a consequence, I was out to Uganda a couple of weeks ago at the annual conference representing the Scottish Parliament. And so talking to politicians from across the Commonwealth, some have this kind of similar issue in their territories and in their countries. And I think we all recognise one of the most important things that politicians should be doing is be very careful about their language. Some of the language that's been used in parliamentary chambers, I believe is overly strong. Politics is a passionate business. But you also still have to be very calm and be very measured to get your point across. When you've got some politician just shouting and bawling, just as if it's just a rabble, then that permeates into wider society. And if society sees politicians acting that way, then society then potentially can think, if that's how my politicians are going to act, then I can do the same. So I think there has to be a kind of a calming down of some of the language and some of the rhetoric from the politicians. I think the media have also got a role to play in terms of what they report, how they report it, and some of the language that they will use in their contributions. And I think that will actually go some way towards trying to help calm the situation down. Because ultimately, when you've got a politician being murdered, because of some of the awful language and the strong beliefs that some people have, then that tells me that there's a feeling in that particular society.
So, going on to Brexit, do you think that Boris Johnson is fit to be the Prime Minister of this country?
As an SNP member, you probably won't be surprised if I say no, I don't think he is. I think the actions of Boris Johnson since he became Prime Minister, particularly in his dealings with the unwritten constitution, I don't think befits any Prime Minister of any party. There are plenty of Prime Ministers that I've never really had much time for, but at the same time, I could respect the fact that they were in a position and they would try to uphold that position with some level of integrity. And I don't think Mr. Johnson has done that.
Was Theresa May one of those Prime Ministers?
I believe she got the role for the best of intentions, but at the same time, I also believe that that she failed spectacularly. She had an opportunity. When she first came in, she had an opportunity to attempt to take the whole of the House of Commons, well, all the parties in the Commons, with her, and certainly attempt to talk to other parties to get some type of resolution on the Brexit question, and to get to some type of resolution that all the parties could sign up to, or well, the majority of the House of Commons could certainly sign up to. And that didn't happen. There was, I mean, to make you aware, there was on the debate night programme on Wednesday evening, the Conservative MP who was on there, he admitted that she waited until far too late before she even attempted to talk to any of the parties.
But would the SNP not have demanded a second independence referendum as the price for negotiating that deal with Brussels, joining her?
The Scottish Government published a document in December 2016, which actually was a compromise agreement. A compromise proposal regarding the European Union, which is to stay in the customs union and the single market. Now, within that document, we didn't say that in order to agree to this, then we need to have an independence referendum. That wasn't part of that document. So the Scottish Government have been very clear on the Brexit question. Fine, Scotland voted 62% to remain, but the Scottish Government and the SNP were very clear that here was a compromise proposal that would actually be the least worst option for the Scottish economy and for the Scottish population.
Well, your party campaigned to remain in the EU but not to leave the UK. What would be the advantages of staying in the EU but leaving the UK?
Certainly, the issue of free movement for me is hugely important. Certainly from a personal perspective, which I'll make you aware of in a moment, but certainly from the wider Scottish economy. Scotland's population was declining, and it got to 5 million people about 17 years ago. Scotland's population now is about 5.4 million. And that increase has been because of inward migration and immigration, predominantly the people coming from the EU, EU 27, other 27 countries. And that's so important because we've got an ageing population, and we've got an older population, and we've got a growing older population, and we also have a reducing younger population. So if we want to provide the services that are required for an older population, we need people to come in to actually work, because there aren't enough babies being born. There are more people in terms of the Scottish population. There are more people dying as compared to babies being born. So we need more people to come in. So immigration has been hugely important. Then on the issue of free movement, so that's one element of the free movement, of people coming in to work to contribute. And that's the thing, these people are working and contributing and paying tax. They are putting more money into the system as compared to what they've been taking out. So the language that's been used consistently for many years about all these pesky immigrants coming and taking their jobs and costing and taking all the tax money, that's not true, that's a lie. These immigrants are coming in and they are contributing and working and putting more into the system. For myself, from a personal perspective, I grew up in Port Glasgow. I did French and German at high school and also college and university. I studied in France twice, in Germany and also in Sweden. as a consequence of European funding, that allowed me the chance and the opportunity to go and study in France, France, Germany, Sweden. My first degree was European Business Management with Languages, and studied in Toulouse and Dortmund, and that was through the Erasmus Socrates scheme, as it was then, that's now called the Erasmus Plus scheme. And the second time, when I did my Master's, my MBA European, I got European Social Fund monies, because I grew up in De Vaux in Port Glasgow, and that area, and most of Port Glasgow at the time, because of the postcode, it was considered to be an area of deprivation, so I qualified for that money. So sometimes when you hear about European Social Fund monies, it's maybe kind of millions of pounds going to help an inward business or whatever. But actually, there was an example of it helping an individual. And I recognise how important that European funding was. I also recognise how important free movement of people actually was then and is now. And I generally believe that when we do leave the EU, if that is what's going to happen, then that will be hugely detrimental upon younger people in Scotland.
But that was in staying the EU. What about leaving the UK? Because surely then you wouldn't have the opportunity, or you would have less of an opportunity to study in Oxford or Cambridge or London or Manchester. Yeah, you might be able to study in Germany or France, but Northern Ireland, Wales, England, you would have surely less of a chance to study if we left the UK.
Depends upon what agreements are put in place between Scotland and the rest of the UK. Certainly, Scotland being a member of the European Union, the issue of free movement is very much there. So that opportunity is there. There's also another point, and that's if to go and study at a university in England, then tuition fees are there. Well, England and Wales, tuition fees are there. Whereas to study in a university in Scotland, tuition fees are not there. Which, because the Scottish Government put that policy in place to scrap tuition fees. I have the belief that the independence is important for Scotland regarding the economy, and also for the social policies that we actually require. And nothing will ever change my mind out of that.
But do you accept that you did lose both of the referendums? Surely you're just asking people, you know, you're saying you got it wrong, do it again. You're saying you want a second independence referendum, a second EU referendum, but the people told you that they wanted to stay in the UK and they wanted to leave the EU. Your policy contradicts that. You're saying to people, sorry, try again. That's what happens when I get my homework back.
Well, I think there's a couple of points there. First of all, at no point in time have I or my party said to the population, you got it wrong. Because the issue of respecting referendums and respecting election results are crucial in any form of democracy. But secondly, the referendum in 2014, a number of things were said by both campaigns, but certainly a number of things were said by the No campaign, one of which was, if you want to remain in the European Union, you have to vote no, you have to stay in the UK. Now clearly, that's wrong. That's a false promise, and it's a false offer, and that for me is a material change of circumstance, which the First Minister has stated in the past, to call for a second independence referendum. There has to be a material change of circumstances. Now there is one right away that that I would argue, and certainly my party does argue, that we should have a second independence referendum.
But when was it not? I mean, I'd understand that Alistair Darling and David Cameron said, you know, vote no, stay in the EU. But Alex Salmond also said that it was once in a generation. 5, 6, 7 years isn't a generation.
That's a fair question, but at the same time, when you've actually got such a huge change of circumstance, which will have a hugely detrimental effect financially and socially for many years to come, then I would argue that that's worth putting that question back to the population to see if the population still feel the same way, or do they have they changed their mind? And that's just one argument, just one element. Now, if you look at the welfare reform that's taking place as well, I know, because of my caseload, people contacting my office, and us actually referring people to the local food bank. Welfare reform has been hugely detrimental to this this economy and to this community. And then the report that was published about 10 days ago from the Trussell Trust food bank, indicating that some 30,000 individuals have either been fed or clothed in Inverclyde by the Inverclyde Food Bank. That's a telling and a damning statistic. But these are individuals, and this tells me that the welfare system that's in operation at UK level, which 85% of it is still reserved to Westminster, is failing, and it's failing my community.
The EU have said the only way to stop a no deal is to back a deal. So why aren't you backing a deal?
I would find it very difficult to back a deal that's going to be detrimental to Scotland and to Inverclyde. If you look at the four nations currently in the UK, England and Wales, if the UK were to leave, England and Wales get what they want, because that's what those two countries voted for. Northern Ireland and Scotland voted to remain. Northern Ireland, with the deal that was on the table through the withdrawal agreement, the Theresa May deal, that puts Northern Ireland at a competitive advantage over Scotland. Now, Scotland's inward investment stats over the course of the last 10 years have been very good. Scotland consistently has been the second best performing area for inward investment UK-wide for the last 10 years. Second only to London and the south east of England. But if Northern Ireland remains, still has one foot in the EU, that puts Northern Ireland at an economic advantage, and it makes it harder for us, makes it harder for Scotland, makes it harder for Inverclyde to compete. So I cannot sign up to a deal that's actually going to make it harder for us and make our area poorer. I don't see how any Scottish politician could sign up to a deal that's going to make yourself poorer.
So if it was the only way to stop no deal, you wouldn't back the withdrawal agreement at all?
But I don't see it being the only way to stop no deal.
But if it came down to it being it was no deal exit or a deal, you wouldn't back the withdrawal agreement?
But how can you back a deal that's going to make you poorer?
Surely a no deal would make you poorer than leaving with a deal.
Leaving as a whole is going to make you poorer, and that's the point. Leaving as a whole, various independent reports have suggested, in terms of the economic impact it's actually going to have upon Scotland's economy. I'm on the Parliament's Culture, Tourism, Europe and External Relations Committee. And 2016, we commissioned the Fraser Wallander Institute to produce a report just to start looking at this. And at the time, when they produced the report, they indicated that some 80,000 jobs in Scotland would be lost as a consequence of leaving the European Union. That was deal or no deal. And the issue of exporting, various reports indicating between 10 and 20% of our exports will stop. That's going to have a hugely detrimental effect upon our economy. So the only way to actually protect the economy is to not leave the European Union. Leaving in any way, shape or form, whether it's with a deal or with a no deal, is going to be bad for our economy, it's going to be bad for jobs, it's going to lose jobs, and that is not something that I could sign up to.
What's the work you do in our constituency?
Well, a Monday and a Friday are constituency days. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Parliament sits. I'll do the Parliament side first. Tuesday morning, I've got the Delegated Powers and Law Reform Committee. I'm the Deputy Convener. Thursday morning, so on the Culture, Tourism, Europe and External Relations Committee. Then in the afternoons, we're in the Chamber asking questions or speaking in debates and the like. Evening times, there's a number of events will take place. It's cross-party groups, at lunch times and evenings, cross-party groups or people come in to meet you. Or it's just parliamentary events, receptions. So I will go to some. I'm on about 13 cross-party groups. I chair the cross-party group on visual impairment. I chair the cross-party group on tourism. I chair the cross-party group on recreational boating and marine tourism. I'm the deputy convener of the cross-party group on dyslexia and also deputy convener cross-party group on disability. So that's just kind of a snapshot of some of the activities that take place through in Edinburgh in terms of the Monday and the Friday, as well as some weekend work. I will meet constituents when I'm here, I'll meet businesses, I'll meet also the likes of doing what I'm doing this morning with yourselves. And when I leave here, I'm heading down to the chart room and the Kip Marina. Obviously, this is the Kip Boat Show, the Scotland's Boat Show, taking place this weekend, and also Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I've got a couple of meetings there as well today with people from the marine trade, because of me chairing the cross-party group in recreational boating and marine tourism. And the reason I set that up is because I'm from this area, and there is a bigger opportunity to actually get more people to take part in marine activities. But it's not just about folk jumping on a boat or a canoe or a kayak to go out and go out in the water. It's actually about what comes along with that, shoreside, about whether it's about the supply aspect of that, as well as cafes, bars, restaurants, that also kind of employs people. It's good for the economy. So that's an important part of regeneration. After that, I've got a few meetings with constituents in the office this afternoon. And then also there's campaigns, likes of something I did. Someone came to speak to me who stays up at the estate beside the hospital. Came to speak to me a number of weeks ago, raised a particular issue. So we did a survey in that area. And so we're just about to produce the actual results of the survey, and it was a very good response, just under 20%. When you do any type of survey, if you get about a 7% response rate, then you're doing very well. So this was just under 20%. So clearly there is an issue, or there are a number of issues people care about, and basically they want their community to be better. So that type of activity, I will now go and contact the various organisations I need to contact, to try to pull people together, try to kind of get some type of solution on that issue. Another thing that this week on Monday, I was at Ferguson's, Cabinet Secretary for Finance was down. As you'll be aware, the Scottish Government are now taking Ferguson's into public ownership. And so I went to that particular event, and there's a number of folk I spoke to. But on the way back to where I parked my car, I noticed something. I parked it beside one of the high flats in Port Glasgow, and I noticed basically just a lack of maintenance in that area, a lack of care. And when you think of the three high flats, a lot of the people who stay there are elderly, potentially infirm. And actually, if someone came out and they were to slip on the pavement because of the lack of maintenance, I mean, the place was full of moss and very slippy. I nearly slipped myself. I've contacted the council. The council, they came back this week. I took some photos, sent it to them. They've come back and they said they're going to get it cleaned up. So we've now written out to the people who stay in the three high flats to make them aware that this is actually going to take place. That place is going to get cleaned up. So that's just kind of a snapshot of some aspects. On Wednesday morning, I came back home on Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, I was at the Port Glasgow Fire Station. I went there just before the summer. They were launching a pilot project focused upon expectant mothers, basically to kind of get fire checks and get fire safety checks within their homes. When a baby comes along, we've got two kids in the house, but when a baby comes along, the last thing in your mind is is maybe you kind of smoke detector working or whatever. It's everything else that goes along with the baby. So they've started this this pilot project, and very simple. And it came about because of one of the fire officers and his wife, kind of discussion they were having. So it's a good project, and I thought actually something like that could be and should be rolled out across the country. So I'd made the Scottish Government, the relevant minister, aware of this, and invited the minister to come. So she came down Wednesday morning, so I accompanied her to go and meet them, and also kind of for her to learn, and she was really impressed by it. And so that's that project is going to get rolled out across Inverclyde, and then hopefully across all of Scotland. And there's something that actually Scotland might be considered to be kind of a small thing, but actually that small thing will save lives, and that's something that Port Glasgow and Inverclyde is actually going to help roll out across the country. So that type of thing, it's about helping, trying to help constituents, trying to kind of put forward that positive idea and that positive vision about what's going on in Inverclyde, make more people aware of the good things that are taking place. We do have our challenges, like everywhere else, but there's a huge amount of great activity that takes place in Inverclyde as well. That's making more people aware of that too. So that's a snapshot of just some of the things that I'll do as your MSP.
Thank you very much for coming and joining us today.
Yeah. No problem at all. Thanks very much for your questions. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.